So Marcus Mabry, international business editor of the New York Times, is back with us, and we're thinking about the global economy. And I think there is one place in the world that both is emblematic of the potential for growth in the 21st century economy and also the potential for extreme social destabilization in the financial crisis that's now sweeping the world, and it's South Asia, it's India. Joining us now is Vikas Bajaj, a Business Day reporter for the New York Times. Vikas, thanks for coming in.
Good to be here.
And Marcus, of course, is your editor, so I hope this isn't too intimidating for you.
No, he's not my editor yet. He'll be my editor in about 2 weeks.
Well, you're on your way to Mumbai to be a Business Day reporter for the Times, right?
Indeed.
What is the headline story? Is it the potential for growth in India right now, which is actually above China or right around China at this point, at least according to the forecast? Or is it the potential for destabilizing social impacts from the downturn?
I think it's all of the above. India is certainly growing still, but it's not growing at the rate that it was. And there's some sense that it might not grow that fast going forward because of the financial crisis. In India, a lot of people are hopeful that the financial crisis won't impact them. But it's unclear to me and to a lot of people that will play out in such a benign way.
A lot of economic analysts have suggested that the financial crisis really isn't in Asia because the banks aren't in the same sort of pool of bad money that European and U.S. banks and Japanese banks, to a certain extent, got caught up in. How does that work? And you still say that there will be effects.
Yeah. I mean, it might not necessarily be through the financial channel, but it could be through trade, for instance. I mean, India earns a lot of foreign exchange through outsourcing and, technology company selling software and services to the West. And so that could be an impact there. In recent years, they have built up their manufacturing base as well. That could be a problem for them.
I want to go to you, Marcus. Give us a little bit more sense of how you choose what to track with a reporter on the ground. This is obviously a new move for you, having someone full-time on the ground from the Times for the business, the international business section that you do. How do you choose what countries get a dedicated reporter?
Well, it's interesting. We have a huge team in India, but we've not had someone in Mumbai, and we certainly haven't had someone with the kind of depth of experience, certainly in the financial sector, but also globally, of Vikas in that position. I think that's really key to who the person is. Vikas is, Indian of origin and internationalist who grew up in Southeast Asia,
Thailand,
and is going back home to place where, he knows some of it in a kind of intimacy level that few reporters will be able to do, but has the kind of financial chops that few reporters have. So it's an extraordinary combination. We're incredibly excited about it. How we parse out what is obviously in tough economic times, incredibly important positions, but also ones that take a great deal of commitment from the Times to fill, is basically, where's the story? And we've increased our Asian reporters, both in South Asia and in East Asia, tremendously over the last, decade, 15 years. And I still see it going more and more in that direction.
You covered markets for the mm-hmm. Times. I imagine there must be a sense of excitement about getting away from the numbers and actually touring, say, the Tata factory, where there's actual economic activity in the auto industry that is growing.
Yeah, no, that'll be a lot of fun. Not to say that I haven't been doing some of that here. I've been spending a lot of time visiting subdivisions across the United States
lately
and doing housing stories. And that's been just fascinating. I mean, in some ways, it'll be hard to leave the sort of burning fire that is Wall Street and go do something that's a little bit removed from it. But I think, India presents so many great opportunities for stories.
Now, you're not in Mumbai yet, but you're certainly in touch with people in South Asia. Mm-hmm. The Indians have a sense that this is their moment, that given the uncertainty right now, out beyond the horizon, that the future belongs to them?
Yeah, I mean, I think Indians have felt that way for the last 5 years. And I think that in the business community and in the economic circles, people have sort of this great expectation for what India could be, but at the same time, they're also very cognizant of the problems and challenges that India still faces. Infrastructure is being sort of probably the most important of those.
Now, the global economy is expected to shrink, and this is according to the World Bank, for the first time since World War II. And global trade may decline to its lowest point in 80 years. What is India's sort of sharp blade edge on those problems? I mean, I suspect that there's a limit to what India can do to insulate itself from those kinds of problems.
Indeed. I mean, the Indians are hopeful that because their economy is much more internally focused, not as reliant on trade, that they'll be able to continue growing at 7% this coming year. I think it's that's sort of hard to square with what's going on in the world. They were growing at 9%, so to come down to 7% doesn't seem like a huge adjustment.
So I guess it's fair to say that if there's a takeaway here, India differs from China in the sense that its consumers are actually more of a demand engine. They're more buyers than in China, and so they can actually restart their economy probably even more quickly than the Chinese.
That is certainly the thought there.
All right. Well,
that's what Indians suggest, but I just want to say that. Yeah. I don't believe it.
You don't believe it? Okay, great. That's the theory. Yeah. It's there. We'll watch to see if that's the case, and certainly will be a part of the story that unfolds as you travel to Mumbai. Vikas Bajaj, a Mumbai reporter, soon to be for the New York Times, and Marcus Mabry, thanks so much for coming in.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.